Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast, Two Johnnies Podcast,
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to Podcast 112, coming to you like Proud Mary, rolling, rolling, rolling on the river. We're coming to you from a variety of locations around Ireland. And on this week's podcast, we bring you the second part of our chat about all things wedding.
He's like Sharon Ni Fiolan, Louis Theroux and Dicky Rock combined. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
While we're on lockdown, she reset her Tinder radius to 2 kilometres and only got 2 results. Her cousin, Anna Ladd in a gimp mask. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
Find out which one she went on a date with. Only joking. And as traditional as saluting magpies when you see only one of them because you're worried about bad luck, we are on off the podcast with our
Yorts and Darts
for the week.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, chicken rolls. They're homemade out in New Zealand because this lad said he can't get them at all. So while on lockdown, he's decided to make them and they're unreal. He has attached a photo of them, right? He said there's no coleslaw because the coleslaw in New Zealand is shite, right? So his fillings are lettuce, red onion, cheese, breaded chicken fillet, mayo, mixed with McDonald's curry powder. He says, give it a go, it'll change your life. That's Liam in New Zealand. And I want to know, is he making the sauce or is he just fucking raw curry powder onto his chicken roll?
No, he's going raw curry powder into mayonnaise and mixing it around. So like you would with like chili powder if you put that into mayonnaise. That's intriguing. I am going trying that immediately after we finish this podcast.
I know you're a fan of curry sauce anyway.
Just as the nation's gone into lockdown and we can't move, the winner of our Two Johnnies book competition to have the competition come live from your kitchen has gotten in touch and he says, well, Mara was talking to Smacks and he said to give you a shout. I won that competition from the lad's book there. I hadn't any voicemails or anything, so didn't know you tried to contact me. I have a screenshot with this email from Easton's, so you don't think I'm pulling a fast one. I'll leave my number if it's any good, 087, and then we've obviously blocked his number out. Thanks, Michal. And Michal, we'll see you sometime in 2020. Have the kettle on. When all this blows over, we're going to your gaff.
Well, Michal, our manager said he rang you. So, like, he's a bit of a chancer, but he did say he rang you. So, anyway, when this is over, we will be in your kitchen in County Leash, Leash, Leash. Yeah. We've had a complaint from a listener. What? I know you're thinking this is impossible, but we have a gentleman who wishes to remain anonymous emailed podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie. He said, thanks for ruining my 10-year-old daughter's innocence. I'm blaming you, not my hungover stupidity. I woke up the other morning after drowning my sorrows with a few cans in the kitchen about being out of work due to the pubs being closed. Bit of a head on me. Dragged myself out to the shower thinking the kids were in school, forgetting that the schools were locked down. I put on your podcast, episode 110, where you began talking about dildos and sex swings and the poor submissive fucker that had to be pulled out by the fire brigade. Anyway, I finished up in the shower and here's my 10-year-old daughter standing outside the bathroom asking me, Daddy, what's a dildo? And do you and Mammy have a playground in the bedroom? In my hungover state, I forgot they were in the house, not in school. And she was standing at the top of the stairs listening to the podcast with me. What the fuck am I going to say to her? I hadn't a clue what I could say. Anyway, after a couple of days, a new trampoline and a swing set later, she has forgotten asking what dildos are. Now I have another problem coming up. We are due to go to Kaleidoscope Festival, if it goes ahead. Because we're playing at that, Smacks. I have visions of her hearing your voices while standing in the crowd, then a light bulb going off in her head like some sort of post-traumatic stress disorder, similar to a Vietnam War veteran, and her remembering that you were the lads talking about dildos and she'll start off again. any chance you know any good child psychologists, because she is fucked up as a nurse in Coppers. Anyway, I signed up to the extra podcast. Keep her lit. Thanks very much.
Oh my God, we are ruining lives. Didlaws has been said to me a few times during the week. You know the way we said it wrong. Didlaws.
So yeah, we need a child psychologist over Skype for this man.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry about that. Romantic proposals. Noreen said, "Well, lads, I was listening to this week's episode 110, and Smax's engagement story. Congratulations, by the way. I don't know. This it might be going ahead after this isolation, but it got me thinking about my two eldest brothers' engagements. Now, we wouldn't exactly be a family of romantics. My father was so confused at his own 30th wedding anniversary that he questioned, 'Do we have one of these every year?' Yes, I know. He's a..." He's a true Prince Charming. Anyhow, my first brother decided to drop the knee after a hurling training session. He came home, took off his dirty gear, came up to the dishwasher where his wife stood loading dishes and plates. In his jocks, he dropped down onto one knee and popped the question. Now, this is a great tactic for two reasons. The first being the dishwasher is on the way to the washing machine, so he was killing two birds with the one stone. And the second was that my brother had not showered yet, so she had to say yes just to get him out of the room. Anyhow, she did say yes, and 8 years later, they have three gorgeous children. So that proposal was fairly straightforward. But my second brother was a little more unfortunate. He'd planned to go to Belgium or someplace with his girlfriend, had the flights and hotel booked, the ring bought, and the confidence was flying. But lo and behold, a digger bucket got in the way.
What?
He was up at the home house giving the father a hand on the farm. I'm not sure of all the details, but to make a long story short, the bucket fell and his foot was under the bucket. Oh, jeez. Now, he isn't one for dramatics, so he insisted on going to the local surgery where he was told to rush into A&E. So he went in anyway, and he got seen to it. They put stints in his toes, and we were told he had gotten dry gangrene, to which my mother nearly had a conniption.
Anyhow, gangrene? What's this, fucking World War One?
Anyhow, 2.5 toes were amputated a week later, and he underwent physiotherapy and was given a boot to help him hobble around on. His girlfriend at the time cancelled the holiday, and they went on living their life for a few months until my brother got the go-ahead that he was allowed to fly. So he booked another holiday abroad to where my cousin was living in Brussels. Finally popped a question, and when they came home, we drank too much wine, sang songs, and shared ridiculous stories. Your typical Irish Wednesday. In fairness to me brother, he built up his strength, got back to running, and more importantly, senior hurling. He also planned a wedding, and all within the space of 11 months. The moral of the story is, it doesn't matter if you're in your jocks, short 2.5 toes, or a ginger. If she says yes, she says yes. And that is a better start than a lot of people. Also, my eldest brother listens to the podcast, and if he hears this, I would just like to say, please don't kill me when we're out of isolation. That comes in from Noreen.
Wow.
It's amazing to think that there's a guy with missing 2.5 toes that's playing senior hurling. That is incredible stuff.
Yeah, which toes are they? It's got to be the smaller ones.
Yeah, Noreen, if...
Yeah, I think you can get by on just, like, if you have your big toe and your little toe, you're grand. I think it's the three middle ones that, you know, what? If anything happens to them, you're okay. Yeah, it's something to do with balance, yeah.
Jeez, we should all get them off.
I could be wrong in that,
like. If you told me I had to lose two toes, I'd be picking the two smallest ones, like.
Yeah.
No, if you broke your little toe, it's actually you get such a bad limp. I'm telling you.
All the big questions always answered here on the Two Johnnies podcast.
Okay. So Jay in Limerick says, anyway, how are you lads and Mara? Hope you're keeping well. On the proposals, I've got one for you. He said, I bought She Who Must Be Obeyed a birthday present from a jeweler's a few years ago. She didn't like it and told me to bring it back. Jay, you got a problem there. We'll see. So the jewelers wouldn't give me the money back, only store credit. I spent about an hour with a very patient jeweler looking and couldn't find anything she would like or didn't already have, and ended up with a deposit on an engagement ring. Paid it off over the next 2 months and collected it a week and a half before Christmas. I had a hotel booked in Galway, told her it was my job's Christmas party, and planned to pop the question that night. It turns out there was a surprise birthday party on in Galway and we had to go to that, so it cancelled the hotel room, blah, 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 blah. He took it handy and planned to ask her the next morning. She did not take it handy and wasn't in the best of shape the following morning. I went downstairs, cooked up a fry, brought it up the stairs to give her bed in breakfast. Or give her breakfast in bed.
She was eating a lump of bed for breakfast, lad, wasn't she?
Would you like some pillowcase? So he set it up on a small table beside the bed, put the ring beside the fry up, got down on one knee and called her. and called her again. And I got told to leave her alone and leave the breakfast there. She'd eat it later. Eventually, after about 10 minutes, she rolled over in the bed, sat up to eat the breakfast, looked at the ring, asked what that was and why are you down on one knee, and then the penny dropped. Luckily enough, she said yes, and it bought me another couple of years. Thanks for the entertainment during these tough times. He's signing up to Patreon. Keep the faith. That's Jay in Limerick. Jay, like, you know what I mean? If you bring somebody breakfast in bed, they should eat it.
Yeah. I have to be honest with Jay from Limerick here. He's not painted his missus in the best light.
She sounds difficult.
She sounds like, I reckon when you do get married, you're in for a life of torture, Jay.
And you know, when Jay sent us in this email, this is probably not what he was hoping to get back. But
Jay, we love you all the same.
About my proposal and they'll abuse the life out of my missus. But
and I'm sure she's lovely, Jay, in fairness to you. And I wish you a long and happy life together. And, you know, if, you know, you ever need a hand, just blink twice, Jay. We'll know. Okay, a giggle for the times we're in. A listener, Simon, got in touch with his funny story. He says, my brother was at the second last Rugby World Cup in Tanland and rang me after one of the games to tell me he was going out in Cardiff. The next morning, he sent me a pin drop and he was miles outside Cardiff. He rang me then and explained he pulled an owl one in the wool shed and they got a taxi back to hers, which is a 1 hour drive. When they arrived back, there was a heap of other Irish lads, all in their jerseys from the game, all around his age as well. Basically, what was going on was, the house was rented by a crowd of older married ladies, all on a weekend away from their husbands, and all on the prowl for young, innocent men. My brother said he got the spin of his life off this cougar. Best part of this story, I asked my brother what did she look like. His response will always be up there with one of the weirdest things I've ever heard. She wasn't too bad, decent body, but kind of looked a bit like Mammy. So strange, and that comes in from Simon. Oh my God. Oh my God. That should never be heard.
Oh my God. Okay, on Wexford slang, we're getting conflicting reports of Wexford people's use of son and hon. So Padzer was onto us on Snapchat. He said, Nicola last week was talking shite. I'm from outside Gorey in North Wexford, and myself and all my friends say son. Don't know what she's on about.
J.O. said, North Wexford don't say dirt, hun, or son, because they aren't actually from Wexford. Back to Dublin with them. Build a wall, the Enniscorthy side of Corktown. Keep them out, says J.O.
And Johnny said, I'm from South Wexford, and we don't say son or hun either. It's specifically a Wexford town thing. Well, we shall see.
This is going to rumble on, I think, on this podcast. The Wexford slang debate is going to rumble on for another week.
Son?
We chatted to listener Diana Quiroz, telling her merch would be delayed because no one was shipping to America, and she replied with this message. I will say y'all are amazing. Every person who takes my order online and makes the shirts, mugs, the bags, as well as the framed prints. I know packages have some lag time, and I understand I am not rolling in and out of a ship of cash, but I love to travel, and since this is happening, I would be happy to spend all my hashtag fuck you money on y'all and your business. I know everyone has mouths to keep fed and the tax man to pay. I have a cat at my place, would love to get another dog. Be well and stay safe till we are all COVID free.
Diana, yeah, we had a good chat with Diana. She's over in Virginia. She was buying some merch. Thanks for that and unnecessary details about the cat and dog you may or may not buy.
I just read that out. I've got no fucking idea what that was about.
I was chatting to her. She ordered some stuff, but they're having trouble shipping to America because of the coronavirus.
I don't know what fuck you money is. And
okay. What are you talking about? We did this with Mario. Fuck you money is when you have enough money to tell people to fuck off.
Okay, so she's got that much money.
I
hope she signed up to Patreon.
Yeah. Hey, that's where I was talking to her.
Okay.
So, on Maura's mystery topic about sex shops, people are loving this, Maura. Phoebe said, I can tell you now, most women I know have something to play with. While most places may not seem busy, a lot of them would have online business that delivered discreetly to your house. There's actually a really big BDSM community in Ireland that holds get-togethers all year. Get-togethers. I'm having a get together with this guy in all leather bondage suit. So while I'm not part of it, my friend is and absolutely loves it. I think Ireland's problem is their embarrassment to talk about sex. I think it's really important to have an open and honest dialogue with everyone you know, but especially with those you have sex with. Sex is fun, but it's extra amazing when you can try out new things and find this thing out that you never knew you liked. A few episodes ago, you were talking about choking and you didn't really understand how it works. That's something I love to do, but it's important to have trust with the person you're with. So it's fun for both people. Safe words and signals for when you can't talk. Don't see the point in missing out on something just because you're too embarrassed to talk about it. If that's the case, you shouldn't be with that person. From Phoebe. Thank you, Phoebe.
Thank you, Phoebe. Yeah, if you want to privately write to us and let us know how choking works, Phoebe, that'd be great.
I'm going to read up on that.
I can't believe... I'd love to know where this big BDSM community... Like, for all we know, Johnny, there could be swingers, clubs, and care.
Oh, statistically, there definitely is.
Yeah, wow, I tell you. We're going deep into the murky underground of BDSM after this podcast. Katrina said, lads, just listening to your correspondence about diddlers, vibrators, etc., which reminded me of a funny story. My friend, let's call her Laura, returned home from a stint in Oz with the boyfriend. For the first few weeks, she had to move back in with the mother. While out in Oz, she bought this big fuck-off dildo, which she brought back here. I don't know why she bought it. The fella must be useless. Anyway, herself and the fella moved into their own place after a few weeks, and that was all grand. The new house was lovely, but it was missing one thing, a bedside locker. After hanging up the phone, my friend realized that her big fuck-off dildo was actually inside the locker her mother was gifting her. She jumped into the car, raced over to her house, only to be greeted by her old bedside locker sitting in the hallway. The said locker was dead empty. She raced up to her old room to find said dildo lying on her bed. I can only imagine the awkwardness as her mother is as quiet as a mouse. So chaps, if you're going to leave your diddlos lying about, at least hide them somewhere mammy won't find them. On another side note, when I was about 18, I was over in my neighbor's house getting ready for a night out. My neighbor was about 3 years older than me, and let's just say a bit more advanced. I'd forgotten some lipstick and asked could I use some of hers. Away I went, rooting in her makeup bag to find this little gold thing, which I thought was a handy wee lipstick. After trying to open it, I said to my friend, is this fucking lipstick broke or what? I can't get the lid off. She burst her whole laughing, as did all the other girls in the room. I couldn't get my head around what was so funny when eventually they told me it wasn't lipstick, but in fact, some type of bullet vibrator. I fucked it across the room and told her she was sick, carrying that yoke in her handbag. She proceeded to tell me how great it was and how one day she went off to work. She fucked it in the drawer before she went out. Her 85-year-old grandmother was in the house and could not understand where the buzzing noise was coming out of. She found her vibrator in the drawer because she forgot to turn it off. Wexford women definitely have no issue in openly admitting that they own these tools. Sure, a bird never flew on one wing, son. Oh my God.
How do you go to work and leave your vibrator on?
She must have thrown it in the drawer.
She's in a rush.
And then it switched
in
on.
In a rush?
Yeah.
But she probably threw it into the drawer and it turned on.
Wait, is it like, are you at yourself and then, oh, I've come, great, fuck, out the door, here we go.
Running down your leg.
You surely do that, like, before you shower for work or whatever. Not to be too specific, but like...
Oh my God, right, who's going to get the Two Johnnies podcast mug this week? Who deserves it? It's tough one this week.
Well, I like Simon and the Cougars in Wales.
Oh, so you do.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Very apt.
Yeah, she looks like Mammy is a good one.
Yeah, that's a great line.
All right.
Yeah, I'll happily go with that. Simon, you can get in touch. Email podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie. More, I'll sort you out with your mug. And you can, yourself and your brother who rode a bird who looked like his mother, can drink some nice tea together.
Hey.
Okay. The weekly roundup. What's been going on in Two Johnnies land this week?
We're coming at you. I'm in the studio. Maura, where are you?
I'm in my bedroom.
Up in County Meath. And Smacks,
yeah.
Where are
yes,
you?
Yes, yeah, sorry.
And I'm in my sitting room, staring out at a field full of cows here out the country, because unfortunately my house is more than 2 kilometres from yours, which is very disappointing in the current climate. So yeah, we're trying to do our bit for this isolation and self-distancing and all that. It can be difficult, but people are saying now not to call it a lockdown, to call it a lock-in.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I kind of like that. Locking sounds a bit more Irish.
Yeah. You've got your missus there. She's in lockdown with you.
Yeah, she's not in the room now. She's left, thankfully. I don't mean that in a bad way.
I'm looking at 2 weeks on my own in the gaff here.
You'll have the stump pulled out of yourself, lad.
do you know the issue? The first issue I'm facing is, obviously, I haven't got a haircut like since before we went to America. I'm gone about 5-6 weeks without a haircut, right? And we can all like trim our beards, guys. Yeah, everyone can trim their beard, right?
Yeah.
But what happens when your facial hair meets your head hair? That fade is quite difficult. Yeah. And if this goes on any longer, I'm going to have to grow side locks.
You'd be like Vince Vaughn, lad. The last time I seen you, your cat hairs were out of control. So I wouldn't be worrying about the beard, lad.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like that bit by your ear where the hair, long hair inside of my head is getting too long.
Yeah, you have to switch the blades.
I'm coughing here. I don't have the Rona. I was just eating Jaffa cakes.
He's got the Rona. No, you gotta trim the hair, man. What you have to do there is like you have to fade out. So you gotta like say you're trimming the beard with like a one, then you have to go into a 0.5 and a 0 into the hair then to try and fade it out, like flick it out.
It's fucking difficult. Moral, how are you finding isolation?
Well, I have my dad, my brother, 5 puppies, 2 basset hounds, 2 sheepdogs, 300 lamb and sheep, and a couple of cattle to keep me company.
That's fucking Noah's Ark you've got there.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Hey, do you know who's loving all this crack? Survivalists.
Yeah.
Do you know what those lads like in America, they live in like the mountains of Montana, and they all have guns, and like they're big into conspiracy theories. They're just shooting deer and fucking listening to Alex Jones, and they're like, I knew this was coming, man. Those boys are smug right now, loving this shit.
Yeah, you know, 100%.
Like, I went into one of my mates' houses once, and he's into shooting and stuff, and he had many guns, and then he had, like, a whole butchering setup in his garage, like, and, like, you know, mincers for making his own burgers, and he had a walk-in coal store where there was animal carcasses hanging. And at the time, I was like, John, this seems excessive. But now, he's
been proved right now. Doomsday's preppers must love this. But it's me. I feel like I'm going back to my childhood, like in isolation.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, just like because you're doing stuff like yesterday. I played a full length game of Goal to Goal with Annie. You know, which is like strange for a man of, you know, 28 to be out playing Goal to Goal. But look, this is boredom. This is lockdown. I'm going back.
Hey, who won?
Of course, I won.
What was the score?
Absolutely hammered her. Yeah, mulched her, lad. Yeah, 100%. She only went back playing Camogie last year, so I was on fire, like, mulched her.
Oh, it was hurling your
like, band. Next week we'll probably have a game of 40-40, maybe. I don't know. Depends. Lockdown's getting man. Me.
People are going to start milling their own grain and shit now. This is going to get out of hand.
Yeah. We need to just kind of keep it together. But obviously, before we went into the proper kind of lockdown, Johnny, me and you doing a couple of videos to try and lift the spirit of the nation.
We did. I got to dress up as Lady Gaga, which was just put on one of your missus' dresses and like shoved 2 oranges down my chest. That was about the size of it.
Honestly, then we done the 2 Christie, so our little tribute to Christie Moore. That video has got mental views and it's going really well. Like, but
I've been tweeting him. He hasn't come back to me.
Yeah, I wonder is he actually on Twitter, or is that someone just masquerading pretending to be Christie Moore, or else like, you know, his manager running a firm or something.
Christie, hit us up, man.
Yeah, we're trying to reach out to him. I honestly couldn't get the chords right for the song for a while, and I was thinking about giving up, so I'm glad that we persevered. I was playing the chords and then I fucked it up. I was like, I'm just going to go full mental now. Check out that video if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's on our Instagram and it's going to be on YouTube and all that. And if you have any more suggestions of people we should impersonate while in lockdown, send them on to us. Now, the big news, we launched episode 1 of 2 Johnny's Extra, our second weekly podcast, which comes out on Thursdays. And thank you very much to everybody.
Yeah, it's gotten a good response. It's gotten a great response so far. People are really enjoying it. And I think just to answer a couple of questions on what people are saying to us is like, is this just for while we're in lockdown? I think it's a long term project for us. It's something that we'd like to keep going. And also it's over an hour in length. So like people are afraid that they're going to sign up and we're going to give them 10 minutes of an extra podcast. But it's a whole extra podcast. It's got new segments, the whole lot. It's good crack. Do you want to tell them where they can get it, John?
If you want to hear it, get the Patreon app. Patreon. It's a little app. It's free on your phone. And then just type in the Two Johnnies. And Two Johnnies XL will come up. Two Johnnies Extra. So just if you like it, it's €6 a month. You get an episode every week and you get 10% off our merch and early access to gigs if the world ever comes out of lockdown. So thank you very much to everybody who has signed up and is listening to our second weekly podcast.
Yeah, and it means, honestly, it's great for us to see so many people sign up and it means the world to us. So thanks very much for that. Cheers. All right, last week we got as far as the story of me proposing after a near-death experience on a plane and missing my pre-marriage course 4 times. So we're returning to chat all things wedding-related once again this week. The wedding part 2.
Hey, so next on the list is invitations.
Yeah.
straight away, wedding invitations are fucking ridiculously expensive. Like, if I want to invite you, or if I want to invite either ye to Anton, I don't spend like €9 on a card. I just text you. I do not understand why people can't be invited to a wedding over the wonders of modern technology.
I swear to God, man, God forbid you ever find a lady who's willing to marry you. Your invitations will probably be from the pound shop and it'll probably have like, you know, Luke's 4th birthday party just scratched out and it'll be like, Johnny B's wedding. Do you know what I mean?
Hey, so wouldn't that be... Why not just start a WhatsApp group? Put everyone in it and then you can see if they've read it and they just WhatsApp back. God.
Yeah, but like, I think maybe it's a women thing, but I think women put a lot of emphasis on the invitation. You know, it has to look pretty and it has to match the bridesmaids' colours. This is just what I'm hearing. We're in the process of buying our invitations now, right? Because like, obviously the wedding is close enough. And the other night, I was on the phone to a woman ordering the invitations and she sounded lovely and we found the invitations we wanted and it was a weight off her mind. And I said, can you send me through, do you know, a rough price of it? How much do you reckon?
Wait, for how many?
So it's an A5 invitation, right? And then a little card with like details on it, you know, of where the wedding is and stuff like that. And then a ribbon around it and obviously an envelope.
And you're getting like 100, 200 of them?
Well, yeah, we'll get on to the guests, but there's probably around 270 or 280 at the wedding.
And I'll get how many invitations are you getting? I can't give you a quote until you tell me how many you're getting. Like,
right,
you're bad at business right away.
170 invitations, just so that I'll have enough, because I'll probably fuck up a few of them.
What are they? Fiver a head, Maura, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I'd say a fiver a head, yeah.
So that's fiver per card? Yeah.
Well, 570 is what? That's 850?
Quick maths.
Yeah. No, wrong. €1,300.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, unless your mom was making them with fucking real gold, there's no way. I nearly had a heart attack. Like, I was sitting on the couch, I was like, because she gave us the quote in pounds.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's fair steep. And then I was like, oh my God, that's pounds. And I put it into euro. I never even hit a full cardiac arrest. I thought I was going to have to get the defib.
To me, that's wasted money.
Yeah. Oh, I fully agree. Like, I'm like, do you know what I mean? Get the bit. I'm actually thinking about like just getting on to Ticketmaster and just been like, look, you printed out a few tickets there. Something like that. We'd have a good enough relationship.
You know what?
Aiken Promotions present Johnny Smax's wedding.
Wedding invitations remind me of that scene. Have you ever seen the film Psycho?
Yeah.
And the bit where your man, they're going on about each other's business cards and the font and the paper and they're like, your man is so upset that everybody has a nicer business card than he does. That's what wedding invitations remind me of.
American Psycho?
Yeah.
No.
American Psycho, sorry. Yeah, I said Psycho. Psycho's another film.
It's hard to disagree with you. So the hunt for my wedding invitations is still going on. But I can categorically say now on the Two Johnnies podcast, I will not be paying £1,300 for invitations. I'm
handwritten, lad. You know, it's a nice touch. Just buy an old Aisling copybook, you know, a nice free pen that you got at the Plowin. Handwritten.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I think the invitations kind of go hand in hand with like your guest list. So how many people you have. So that's where you're making up your mind. The thing I found, right, is since I said I was getting married and stuff like that, is like she's got a massive family. So there's 270 going at the moment. Like, it's what we have on our list. And like her family was like 110 of that.
Wow.
They are bigger than an African tribe. And like,
man, they must be using the rhythm method.
Oh, I swear to God. And like, my whole family will fit in one pew in the church. I can guarantee you that, like. So, like, mine was pretty easy, like, but that's why there's so many. But the thing I found now is people are actually coming up and asking me. So, like, before this lockdown, if I was in the pub, you'd have lads from the GA team coming up and going, like, hey, am I going to your wedding? And I'd be like, no. Because, like, I'm not going to lie to him, like. And then they're like, ah, go on. And I'm like, fuck off, will you? Like, it's not like it's a fucking dude, like, you know, a dude that you're just going to bring random people to. So, like,
21st up in Hill Bar.
Yeah, it's not a 21st, like, so. It's,
how do you decide who goes to a wedding, who doesn't, like?
The approach we've went to is, like, if I haven't spoke to them, you know, really in the last, like, 6 or 7 months, then you're not going.
Yeah, that's a good approach, yeah. That's only fair, I think.
So, yeah, I'm going to be going out, like, trying to fall out with people now to get the numbers down.
Not a bother to you, Max.
I swear to God, it's tough. Like, where do you draw the line? But down the GA club, you're playing with whatever 20 lads, and how do you decide who you're going to bring? Like, there's going to be some. I'm going to be getting killed in training, lad, when the invites go. I'll tell you that much.
But tell me this: do people not kind of pay for themselves with their present?
It depends, lad. You get, like, you know stingy fuckers, like. You know, I'll probably, like, I've never got a present off you. I assume you're going to give me one for my wedding, eh?
Yeah.
It's going to be a song that he's written, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be another Nelly CD, is it?
I have one up my sleeve for you, lad.
I think
the average gift is, like, if a couple were going to a wedding, what would it be, like 200 quid?
200 sheets straight away, and then if you knew him probably better, like, you'd probably be going around 250, I'd say.
Fucking hell. But that, you're definitely making money off having that person at your wedding, are you?
Weddings are expensive, man. Honestly, I thought that as well. I was like, I'll make a few pound out of this, and like, just doing the quick maths, it's not going to happen, lad. It's not going to happen. Hemorrhaging money. No, so yeah, like every person will probably cover their dinner, if you get me. Yeah, but then, like, you've got expenses on top of that. So you've got the band, you've got the DJ.
But I mean, like, bringing extra people, they pay for themselves. So fucking bring the whole Gat Club, lad.
Ah, oh, no way, lad. There's some animals there I won't be bringing to me wedding. Are you joking?
Bring
me?
Mr. Chairman, Noel, the whole lot, lad.
Yeah, the original Noel and Mr. Chairman. No, I'm not bringing it. I'm not. I can't fit, man. I just can't fit him. I can't do it. And then,
okay, like, go on. Yeah, like, the style I want to know about. You're a very stylish man. For your suit, are you going to have your ankles out?
This was something I debated with Annie, and I showed her Philly McMahon suit.
Philly, the Dublin footballer.
Yeah, so if anybody's seen that. Now, for me, Philly had a bit too much ankle out. I like the ankles out now, but, like, I thought Philly was going, he had shin. He nearly had his kneecap out. You know?
He was wearing a pair of Trick Ireland's.
Pedal pushers, lad. He had a pair of pedal pushers on.
He had a velour suit.
Yeah, it's so nice. I was thinking, like, something along those lines, but no, I will have the ankles out, but I won't be taking the piss. And, like, obviously my dad and her dad have to wear the same suits, but, like, I don't think, you know, ankles out would suit those men, so I'll probably have to get them different pants. But and
who pays for the suits? This is a weird one for me. So, like, if you have 2-3 groomsmen, yeah, do they pay for their own suits? You rent, like,
this is your, you know, way of asking, lad.
I'm asking for a friend, you know.
Yeah, so obviously you are one of the best men, but
one.
What I'm going to do anyway for mine is, like, I'm going to buy all of my best men's their suits, like, so that they can keep them.
Is that the norm?
I don't know. I've heard of a few people doing it. Some people still rent suits, but you know, suit rental can be tough because some of the suits are fucking battered. Like, you've had some animal in them 2 weeks before that, like, the arse is ripped out of them. Yeah, do you know what I mean? So I'm going to buy the suits, and you can keep them. And that's going to be my present.
For bridesmaids, what's the crack? Who buys the dresses, like? Do you know?
Well, just for staying on the thing about groomsmen, just one second. I have to be careful about not naming names because they listen to the podcast.
Name them.
But so I know these bunch of group lads, and one of them was getting married, and he asked two of his friends to look at, will you be groomsmen? And they were like, grand, yeah, sure, Wilson, we'll just hire the suits, be grand, like. And the bride insisted that they buy their own suits. And there was a bone of contention. And there was a, I think there might have been a phone call between the bride and the best man that didn't go down too well. So,
I can, oh my God, I can guarantee you, my friends don't mince their words when it comes to me. And if I turned around to them and said, like, hey, boys, you buy your own suits and your own shoes, they'd be like, hey, fuck off, get someone else. Mm. I can guarantee you.
Yeah. I think fucking for when hilarious. I, yeah, when I was my sister's maid of honor for our dresses, I think what we said is that, I think she said, like, it was like, look, I have a budget for like €100 per dress to pay. And then whatever after that, if you find something you really like, you just cover it yourselves. Like, so that, and that was fair. Like, I think we paid for our own shoes as well. So, yeah, it was like, it was reasonable enough. Like, I think the, like, I think the bride and groom should put something towards it, but like, I think getting more.
We're paying for the bridesmaid stuff as well.
Flash Harry by the Patreon. No, we got some dint there. See that?
I tell you, so if you are listening, please sign up to the Patreon. The bridesmaids, hey. The bridesmaids be wearing fucking bin bags.
sure, they already have nice dresses. Wear something you like. The next big expense thing, you're talking about the band.
Yeah, so like, entertainment, I suppose, is nearly a subhead in itself. And like, the one thing that me and Annie said when we were planning this wedding was like, we wanted it to be like nearly something that everyone enjoys, and we don't want to be fretting on the day. We just want to be enjoying it. Like, we're treating it like one big massive night out.
Yes.
Like the greatest show of all, you know, we just want a big massive party. And like, some fellas are texting me saying, oh, you can't really drink the day of your wedding. I'll be drinking and I'll be partying, I'll be dancing. Like, I'm not going to be going around to the tables, you know, saying, oh, you having a good night? Everything looked after? No, I'm just going to be saying in my speech, listen, have a good night, yeah? I'll see you in a couple of weeks or something like that. I'll be wrecking my head. Have a good night. Get drunk. But the entertainment comes in, so...
I did a wedding once. You know, I used to be in a wedding band. And we did a wedding once where the bride was so drunk she fell down the stairs.
Jesus Christ.
And the groom, like, had his shirt, like... down, he was open, kind of right down to his chest plate. He was showing a bit of chest hair with the shirt. Gotta say though, great wedding.
Yeah, well, I think when people go away from weddings, all they're thinking was the band good and was a good crack, and that's all I'm kind of worried about. But picking a band can be tough.
How did you pick your band, John?
I not. I really don't want to go into this now on the podcast. I'm begging you.
It's a great story.
But like, that band are doing my wedding, like, and you know, like, we know the fella and you know he's listening. Why? This is fucking bullshit.
He's going to love it.
Do you think? I don't know the story. Okay.
Yeah, so obviously, can I just talk with the DJ first?
Oh, go on, okay, fuck's sake.
So the DJ was straightforward for us. We're friends with Fergal Darcy from Today FM, and I mentioned it to Fergal, and Fergal said he'd do it no bother. So we had the DJ down, so that was grand, right? So that was out of the way, so I just needed a band. And like, people are expecting, like, my friends are saying to me, like, who's playing, like, have you got the Coronas, who have you got? It's like, no, lad, what do you think I am? Like, made of money. They're expecting someone big, and I was like, I knew the band I wanted, like, I had a fair idea, because your man is from Care and they live in England and stuff like that. And they were playing in Care one night, and I went out to see him, and thought not more of it. And then I was like, jeez, it'd be a lot of hassle now, would it, getting them over from England, you know, to play the wedding and stuff. So I got on to Johnny, and there was this other band in Tipperary we knew. I'd seen them at weddings before, and I knew they were good. So I said to Johnny, look, that's your job as best man. I said, can you look after booking the band and stuff like that? So Johnny came back to me, that's grand, give him a deposit, whatever. And then we done our show in London, and we met the fella from the band that I went to see in Care the night, and he was after been at our show in London. He was like, jeez, hey, we're looking forward to doing the wedding now. And I was like, oh yeah. So that night I was out in Care with Annie. We'd obviously got hammered and booked the band and not remember.
So
miraculously, I was in a situation coming home from London where I had two bands booked to play the wedding. And can I just say to Noel, who's listening now out there in London, you were always first choice, Noel. I can assure you that you're always, and I'm glad that you're doing the wedding now. So yeah, Johnny had to ring the other band and cancel then. But I booked two bands. I was drunk and booked a band and didn't remember. Like, who does that? Like, Jesus Christ.
When you're booking a band, wedding bands have all these videos online of them, you know, playing in a studio and it all sounds great and it's edited to fuck and it's fake and it's absolute waste of time. They're so heavily edited. Like, if you want to book wedding band, you have got to go see them live. I don't care if you have to sneak into someone else's wedding. We did that all the time. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe that's frowned upon, bringing strangers into a wedding. Whatever. It's the only way to book a band. If you see two people down the back of your wedding, standing awkwardly at the back, that's what they're doing. They're not like undercover narcos. They are looking at the band.
You were saying that to me. You were like, you should go and see a couple of bands, man. Just pop into someone's wedding. And I was like, and then Johnny was like, I'll go with you. And I was like, yeah, but then people are going to be like, have the two Johnnies been booked to appear at this wedding? I was like, it'll be a little bit strange. So we didn't go down that road.
One more thing for a band. The first dance. Very important. And for me, the band should do the first dance. We did some weddings where they would be like, oh, we really want this song, so we'll play it on MP3 player, iPod, whatever. But it just sounds weird. It's very hard to get the vibe going. So when I was front and back, the first thing you do, you get everybody up for a toast, and then you get the bride and groom out on the floor, and then when everybody is standing, you would ask them for like raise their glass or whatever. Then you would say, could everybody take a few steps towards the edge of the dance floor? And then before you know it, your bride and groom in the middle and everyone is up and around them. Great start to the night. Then the song starts and you bring in the bridesmaids and the groomsmen, and they awkwardly dance with each other because they don't know each other, and then everybody's in and you're off to a winner. Got one for you. Did weddings all over Ireland. In Cork, if you ask people, would you all, you know, stand and then come around the edge of the dance floor? Cork people, go ahead, fuck, boy, will ya?
No way.
Yeah, Cork people were so weird, they wouldn't do it. They would let the bride and groom dance on their own.
That's awkward. I hope everybody gets around us.
When we started, we were like four lads with long hair and beards, and people would be like, oh, first dance, will you do Ellie Goulding or something? You'd be looking at her going, come on.
He looks like fucking Nirvana lad or something.
Yeah. Best first dance we ever got to do, Bryan Adams, Everything I Do It For You. What a fuck.
Yeah, choosing a first dance song is tough.
Have you chose yours yet?
I don't know, Frankie Valli, You're Just Too Good To Be True, you know that song? Can't take my...
Yeah. That's a great one. Start slow and romantic, and then by the end, everyone was in. We've done that. That's a cracking one.
I'm pushing hard for that now at the moment because we both like Jersey Boys. Well, I particularly like Jersey Boys, so I am pushing very hard for that.
She was there when you were watching Jersey Boys, you know?
Yeah. she's heard the song once or twice, yeah. But,
I had a nightmare experience at a gig once, because people have notions. They're like, you know, it's going to be a young wedding. We want you to play, like, you know, loads of cool music or whatever. And this one booked us one time, and she was like, oh, can you do... She gave us a whole like, set of songs to learn. We were like, fucking hell, we learned a couple of them, like, you know? And then we were doing, like, Arcade Fire and all this kind of stuff, and it was dying. It was going down like a Led Zeppelin, lad. And there was no one on the dance floor, like, so bar her and her bridesmaids, whatever. But, like, fuck her, she's only the bride, you know? And then... After a while, we were like, oh, to hell with this. Do the set. Into the wedding set. Like, we know it off by heart at that stage. Started doing all your, you know, Beatles and Do You Love Me? Doing all the classics, like, right? Floor was jointed. After a couple of songs, we're like, right, keep going, keep going. Keep everyone on the floor. After about 40 minutes of that, she came up crying, you've ruined my wedding.
My God.
Oh, my God.
And because we weren't playing the songs she was asking, but it was killing the wedding. Like, everyone was dying.
Jesus.
So there's tough brides out there.
I remember you saying that to me. You were like, if you book a wedding band, let them do their job. Stop telling them what to do. They've probably done hundreds of weddings. They know how to do it.
Yeah. Most wedding bands, like, have a thing they do. They either have loads of brass, or they've like female vocalist, or they do trad, or they do pop. Like, don't book a wedding band and then give them a set list. Let them do what it is they do.
Yeah, it's crazy, like, but like some like budgeting is one thing I've never been good at, like for
going by your collection of runners, yeah.
Like, it's tough. It's like this wedding is like a business, man. Got to be ruthless, and everything's so expensive. Like, everything doubles for weddings. Like,
oh yeah,
flowers, like buying flowers, like, for a fucking hour, like, Do you know what I mean? Putting them in the church, putting flowers up. Oh, yeah, I want them on here, and then I want an arch. And I'm like, what happens to them then after that? Sure, I don't know. Like, what? So you have them for an hour in the church, and then they're fucking gone, like, flowers. Like, you're not going to take them home. You're not going to take them home, go into the sitting room, and have a big fucking flower arch, like, on your way into the sitting room. Fucking hell, flowers are stressing me out.
If anybody wants... Again, lad, no need for flowers, lad. Cut them out, saving money again.
Do you know what I heard of some guests doing? Like, a guest, as they were leaving the wedding, they'd be taking the wreaths in the centre of the table to bring them home through their own house. Like, isn't that, that's a bit cheeky.
But sure, what are you going to do with, like, 200 wreaths?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. It like, all these little bits, like, do you know what's a bugbear of mine, like? And I don't want to be calling any out now on the podcast, but... Do you ever hear of favours? So, like, favours are when you put, like, a present on the wedding table for people.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm giving you a 4-course meal, and you've had a drinks reception as well. You're not getting another fucking present on me, like. So, like, you know, people would put, like, miniature yolks. You add that up to 170 guests. Tell you one thing.
Oh, you give them, like, a little fucking pot of jam or something, like.
Yeah, something. Oh, that's ridiculous. That is
again,
insane.
Cut that out, lad. Cut that out. Cut the flowers out. You're saving money all over, but cut the invitations out.
Yeah, I know, Johnny. I you should be a wedding planner, lad. It'd be like Budget Weddings by Johnny B. You'd have Frank doing, like, you know, the real expensive weddings, and then you'd be doing, like, yeah, look, there's no need for, you know, wedding cake. Here, there's a bit of styrofoam. Cut that. I do agree on the wedding cake. People also asking me, coming to my wedding, hey, are you going to have a free bar? You know, because you see the two Johnnies doing well. Like, lad, honestly, the animals that are coming to this wedding, if I had a free bar, we'd have to do 8 podcasts a week on Patreon at around 80 quid a fucking pop, like.
You couldn't have liquid a free bar. To sink the Titanic, lad.
I just want to ask listeners, have they ever been at a wedding where it's been a completely free bar? And if so, what tycoon was paying for it?
Yeah. Big thing for me as a band is halftime finger food.
Mm.
The band should start about 10, finger food coming out about 11:15, goujons, fish not acceptable, I don't want to hear about fish, tea, coffee, cake, sandwiches. That's it.
Yeah, keep it simple. Yeah, it was funny when like we were trying to pick out the halftime like the food, like, as such, they were like, oh, prawn skewers and, you know, all this elaborate stuff. I was like, here, keep it simple, girl. And I said it like, we're gonna have to have goujons. It would be so off brand to not have goujons. But these are all the little things. If there is a wedding planner out there who'd like to get in touch with me and just do all this shit for me, I'm sure Annie would be quite happy. Or if anybody has any tips on invitations and stuff like that, I'm not looking for freebies here. Just fucking guidance, because I'm at the end of my tether now with this wedding.
Are you looking forward to my speech, lad?
I'm a little bit nervous about your speech, to be honest. because
why?
I want, like, do you know, I've always been to weddings, and I've always found the speeches, like, you know, it's a lot of smoke blowing. What I like to say is, like, you know, fellas blowing smoke up their groom's arse, like, oh, Jimmy is a lovely fella, you know, and he, you know, that time he went, you know, volunteering in China and stuff like that. I want to be semi-roasted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I won't take that approach for blowing smoke up your ass. You're safe enough, lad.
Yeah, but Johnny's got no filter, which worries me ever so slightly. You know, and you see, I'm going to get the lads to share out the speech. So, and I told Annie, I was like, Johnny, you probably do a song. And she just said, fuck's sake.
No, man, I'm not letting the other groomsmen say a word. I'm going to give a full half hour roasting you, lad, top to bottom. I've had stories in my back pocket. I'm waiting to destroy you, lad.
Oh, no.
You may get those forms signed, because I will fucking divorce you two at the dinner, lad.
We'll wrap it up there. But the idea that we did have was that we were going to do a podcast. So whenever I get married, that the following week's podcast will be recorded in the honeymoon suite the morning after the wedding. So are you bought up for that still?
Yeah.
That's going to be a magical podcast. So that'll be coming up in a while.
Can we just say, on last week we touched about where people get married. So we have a couple of stats here I want to throw at you. In 2018, 47% of people had Catholic weddings, and 30% of people had civil ceremonies, and then the rest are like whatever.
Bits and pieces.
Presbyterian and other mad religions, you know.
Yeah. I'm just looking at a big stat here. According to Confetti Magazine's annual Irish wedding survey, Irish couples typically spend $25,000 for a wedding.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. I'm off to drink a bottle of whiskey now to numb the pain. At a time when the world needs leadership, hope and a bit of crack, we can turn to only one man, Noel Furlong. And it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News. It's Noel's News.
I'm young fella.
For those of you listening to this, Noel is wearing what can only be described as, is that a welding mask or what is that, Noel?
It's a welding mask, yeah. I'm taking no chances.
And it's got like a window on the front, a visor.
I'm like Ned Kelly. You remember Ned Kelly?
From Ballylooby?
Yeah.
No, the Australian, the bandit.
Oh, I don't know him.
Oh, yeah, he's going around shooting people. So I'm like Ned Kelly, except I don't. Well, I'm like Ned Kelly. hang on. I'm going to take it off. Hang on.
Oh, my God.
I take it off for a minute. I think it's like the corona. I think it's like food falling on the floor. You have a 5-minute rule, kind of. So
Okay.
Well, it is handy. I first discovered the mask. We used it going to the shop. So
okay.
Carmel had the basket and then I had the hurley. So it was kind of like American football in that she was like the fella carrying the ball and I was just fucking flattening any fucker who came near us. So...
Oh my God.
Did you hear the Prime Minister of England has the corona?
Yeah, Boris spite.
Well, I wouldn't wish it on anyone, but if I was to say to you, you know, Boris Johnson is going to go into his house and he's not going to come out, you'd have to say not the worst thing that ever happened to England, now in fairness. Just, I want to give you an update here. I don't know if you know this, but one man locally has been struck down with the virus.
No way. Who's that?
Mick the Stick.
Jump.
His condition is said to be scandalous.
Go away.
Neighbours
were
checking on him through the window and they can report Mick has not taken a shower since 2008. He has been living on a diet of Smittics and cheese. He has a slight temperature, a mild cough, and smells of raspberries. We wish him a speedy recovery, and we hope to see him back in the Hill Bar soon. But he actually, he caught the corona. He was on a skiing holiday.
Make the stick.
Yeah, in Armagh. So.
So, didn't know they'd skiing in Armagh.
Yeah, well, normally when he goes up the north, he comes back with fireworks and just sells them to children. But this time he brought back the Rona. He brought back the old virus. But I have just make a quick announcement here while I have people. I have a list of people who have the Corona. First local woman struck down. Pauline Mara. Judith Hartigan. Slim Sheedy. Hitler Canaan. Mr. Tato. Zulu O'Mahony from Clonmore, not to be confused with all the other Zulu O'Mahonys. Spitfire Seamus, he has it. Mick the Mexican. Tampon Jackson. He's all given out. Jorge Gonzalez, the president of Carlo. Breda Ryan. Patricia O'Neill. And the Vikings.
The Vikings?
The Vikings have the corona, yeah. That's what reports are leading me to believe. Now, I can't name my source, but he's never led me astray before, so.
Okay.
Are you staying safe yourself?
Yeah, we're all self-isolating now. We're all in our own home, so I'm out the road.
You're staying away from each other.
And, yeah, yeah, no choice, no.
Are you staying away from yourself?
I'd say...
Your tour is off.
Yeah, tour is
no
off.
No more going around to haunt the young ones.
That was the other lad.
Hey, oh, it'd be like, oh, I'll take you home, but I'm not shaking your hand. Now, I want to get to you about a bit of news, right? I'm trying to find news that is not corona related. So I have a story for you here. Did you know it takes a sperm 5 hours to swim the length of the uterus?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I once swam to Ardfinnan in 2 hours. So fucking stupid sperm. Although you could ask, what was I doing going to Ardfinnan in the first place? Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, what were you doing?
Huh? 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 Well, I was off the road at the time, and I had to go to a wedding. So, do you know who was getting married? Do you know Chickenpox McKenna?
Chickenpox McKenna.
Yeah, you know the pox. He was getting married to one of the Davises, and I knew the chickenpox from school. So off I went to the wedding. Now, obviously, I didn't get an invitation or anything, but sure, fuck it. You know what, lads? So. Out we went anyway. And I got out there. I got out of the river and into the Glenview Bar, into Greenview Bar to try and dry myself off, you know. So my shoes were dry because I had kept the shoes in the air, and which meant I had to swim. I had to swim with one hand, but fuck it, just get it better than getting the bus anyway. So I walked into the Greenview Bar, right? I was drowned in wet as after being bitten by an otter. And I said to one, do you mind if I freshen up? And she said, well, toilets are for customers' use only. I said, I'll have a brandy and Guinness in that order. So, not to let her fucking best me, like, you know. So, I had 5 quick brandies. And my clothes weren't quite dry at the time, but it was time to go to the church. So, I headed up to the chapel anyway, the clothes in one hand. And then I had 6 creamy pints on a tray in the other hand, in case I got dry during the wedding. So... I laid out my clothes on the chapel lawn and dry in the sun, and they were drying away, but my underpants were still wet. So I thought, well, fuck it. Like, I thought about going in without them, but then, obviously, as you know yourself, you can't go to a wedding without underpants. You get talked at in school, like, in case they dance the Rising of Kilmyler. Do you do that one up in Meath? No.
No.
Well,
no,
it's like the Siege of Venice, but by the end, you... Well, you'd want underpants, right? So, by the time McKenna Sr. arrived, he was greeted by the sight of a naked man lying on the grass outside the church. And he just said, oh, I didn't know they were Protestant. So, for a finish, we had a great day anyway. I'm only joking. We had a great wedding. And the music was done by Eleanor Shanley. I didn't... distracted me. I was trying to tell a story before you distracted me. I was talking about sperm, right? Sperm donation, right? This is a new thing they have out in America. This is a new thing, right? So there was this couple, right? They were a gay couple of 2 women, both lesbian. And you won't believe this, right? But they didn't want to have sex with any lads, right? This was, right? And I know what you're thinking. It's not like, oh, I'm not going to ride any more Kildangan lads. They all have the clap. No, I mean, this is like, this is what they do, right? So they ordered sperm from a donation clinic. And it comes to you, like, in the post. And then you, well, it's up to you to get it up there. It's like IKEA deliver, but you have to assemble it, right? So they chose the donor because he listed his profession as writer, musician, and taxi driver. And he sounds like a fucking chancer to me, but anyway, she got pregnant. So after a few years, unfortunately, the 2 ladies, they broke up. And then the daughter asked the mother for her 11th birthday, Mammy, can I have a DNA kit? Right? Now, to me, you shouldn't be letting children play with electricity. But anyway, she found her biological father and a half-brother through the kit. And they all met up.
Wow.
And your man actually had 8 children looking for him as well. And they all came along to meet up. So, this man had been donating sperm twice a week for about a year. Yeah, that's fucking Jesus. Rookie numbers if you ask me. But anyway, he was paid $40 a pop for pulling that himself. Right? You'd be a fucking millionaire if you're at it, huh? So he now reckons he has about 70 children. You know what I mean? Wow, I know they're Marty Whelan numbers, but anyway. But it's all in a new documentary called $40 a pop. But the news is, I want to tell you, this the end of the story. When the little girl traced her father through the DNA, she brought along her mother, who ended up falling in love with the biological father that she'd never met. And now they are going out. God. Isn't that lovely?
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's lovely, yeah.
And it just goes to show, Americans are crazy. I want to give you a bit of local news. Now, locally, construction has begun on the shrine of St. Martin. Not St. Martin from Peru that they all talk about in the Vatican. I mean, of course, St. Martin of Rossmore, local hero. We couldn't afford to get a statue made, so Patsy got a second-hand statue of our Lord and just gave him sidelocks. He is a dinger with that angle grinder, I swear to God. Now, the new statue has been erected, and it's on the Glen Road there, and you won't miss it because Puppy O'Mara has painted it head to toe. He's painted it head to toe in yellow paint that he fecked off the council. So, shrine, it's more like a fucking airport, if you ask me, a landing strip out of Glen Road. But because of the corona, we've had to work on it one at a time. Do you know what I mean? Hence the mix-up with the colour of the paint. So, St. Martin of Rossmore, of course, a local saint, but unrecognised by the Vatican. But to us, of course, he is the patron saint of the pigmen. He himself being a pig farmer. And would you believe there are many miracles attributed to St. Martin, including he cured Paul McCartney of his colourblind. He cured Nell Walsh of hay fever. Richie Ryan, who was lactose intolerant. And he cured Fergal Dwyer, who was formerly away with the fairies. All saved by St. Martin. That's right, he cured him of the colourblind. So, his new shrine will be in the Glen Road beside Therese O'Neill's Bar and Grill. And in fact, it will be adjoining the bar's smoking area, St. Martin himself being fond of the fags. So, patrons will be able to worship St. Martin by doing the rounds of the shrine. So, in your bare feet, you say two Hail Marys and fight a horse. And then, that should cure you of the colourblind. And then, there is of course, the traditional St. Martin prayer, which I might just leave you with now.
Oh, lovely.
Our Martin, abroad in heaven, Martin be thy name, lover of all pig farmers in a manly way, keep us safe from the colour blind. Oh, holy smoky bacon is yours forever. Amen. See, the traditional offering, St. Martin, is a pack of smoky bacon crisps and a pint of Carlsberg. Of which St. Martin was partial to, and they can be left at the statue's feet, and I will collect them. Or you could just leave them behind the bar, and he'll get them in his own time. So,
brilliant stuff, Noel.
So that's I'm going to stay safe. Have me mask here.
You putting back on the mask?
Yeah, I made the other lad leave the house. He's out on the road now. We're coming in one at a time.
Is he? Okay.
I told him to stand outside and watch the jeep. I got Linda Halloran's Pajero coming the road.
Oh, lad.
So, look, mind yourselves.
That's brilliant. You stay safe, Noel, and give our love to Carmel.
I give my love to Carmel.
See you next week. She did a Q&A on her Instagram story this week and was asked the question, "You single?" To which she replied, "You got land." Maura, what's your mystery topic this week?
Okay. Yup, yup.
Okay, so my topic this week is about advice for using Tinder while on lockdown. Okay, so people are at home.
Oh, shit.
They have a lot of time, so, you know, to spend messaging and all that stuff. So I'll take you through kind of my bits of advice. So number one, take the time to, first of all, update your profile, get some fresh pictures in there. You know, it's good weather. Take some pictures of yourself out in the lawn with the dog looking cute, you know. Also, if Tinder's not going well for you, maybe consider joining a second dating app like Bumble. I find it quite good.
Would you prefer Bumble to Tinder?
Yeah, I would, because Bumble lets you filter your results, so you can filter by height and, well, like, you can say that, like, so, like, I'm not going to date any lads that are shorter than me or whatever, like, you know, so, yeah. Like,
and there's no filters on
Tinder,
no? Fuck
the personality.
No. The only filter on Tinder is distance. So, like, you can filter your Tinder search by, like, you know, 50 miles, 70 miles radius of you, so.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I would say the second point is for Tinder, do set your distance further, so that you can, like, you have more time to message people. So, like, this is on for 2 weeks, so you set the cast and net a little bit for wider, let's say. Number three, okay, right? When you're messaging back and forth, okay, right? Okay, like, so maybe after 2 or 3 days messaging, you're getting on with this person and you're going to be like, right, I think I go on a date with this person, but you can't go on a date. So what do? Phone call, 20-minute phone call, pour yourself a glass of wine, arrange a time like you would a date, sit down and have the chats. I think that's a really good way of seeing if there is chemistry there. So, and if that goes...
Is that a phone call or a FaceTime?
No, phone call. FaceTime. Save the FaceTime for the second date. Okay, right? Because the... Yeah.
I don't do face on first dates.
Yeah. So, like, so first date is, like, keep it to a 20-minute chat. Keep it lighthearted. Have a couple of areas that you might talk about, 3 or 4 things, like things that you would try to suss out in a normal date. Like, does he have a job? He probably doesn't at the minute, but, you know, what? See, like, he'll be probably getting 350 euro a week, which is decent money, like, you know. So,
oh my god, this is gold. This is harvest time for lads on the dole.
Oh, completely, yeah, definitely.
Because if a guy came to take you out and he's like, "Oh, I don't have a job," that'd be like, maybe, you know, you wouldn't be into that. No, I don't have a job. Ah, coronavirus. Yeah.
No one has a job.
I was a brain surgeon, but coronavirus.
Then first date goes well. Second date, then do the FaceTime. You know, Skype, whatever thing fancies you. Do, you know, be careful of your background. Don't, like, I had, when I was originally setting up to record this podcast, I had the camera pointing towards my bed, and I was like, that's definitely going to give off the wrong impression here. So,
that's OnlyFans, Mara. That's OnlyFans.
Yeah. So, if things go well on the second date, fifth, you're progressing to where you might want to see the person in the flesh. You might be getting a little bit sexually attracted towards them, but you can't do it. And I would say don't progress to sexting somebody unless you've met them in the flesh and you can trust them and they're, you know, seem like a decent skin. You just don't know who it is. So as a way of dealing with that sexual frustration while on lockdown, I have 4 recommendations of things that might be worth watching that, you know, can help you release the tension. Okay, number one, actually, what really works well for me is Google Bradley Cooper speak in French. He is, like, fluent in French. And, like, oh my god, like, he did this interview on, like, I don't know, was it Canadian television or French television, but, like, Yuan's interview him, she's like, "Oh my god, you speak French," and he's like chatting away to her in French and being like, "Oh yeah, I studied it." And I swear to God, after about 30 seconds, I don't know what happens in the rest of the interview, because I just stopped listening and just listened to that beautiful man talking French. It is just unreal. Like, I, you know, I doubt anything on Pornhub could match that. Number two, there's a film on Netflix called The Longest Ride. Okay, right.
okay. Starring Pat Fox.
So it's kind of like, it's by the same guy, Nicholas Sparks, who wrote The Notebook. But I think this is actually better than The Notebook. So,
oh, that's big talk now.
It is, yeah. So Scott Eastwood is in it, who I absolutely love, Clint Eastwood's son. But there's this scene in it where he's walking up to Juan's house and he's wearing a cowboy hat. And he's carrying a bouquet of flowers for her. And there's the music going on, playing underneath it is a song by Pistolani's called I Feel a Sin Coming On. And I swear to God, it is just like so, so good. Number three, any of Roy Keane's ITV commentary, just with the sound turned down, just him scowling. There's something so sexy about Roy Keane's scowl. I don't know what it is. Oh, him looking angry. Oh my God, yeah.
I've heard it all no more. This isolation is doing you no good.
So does Gary Neville looking petrified do it for you as well? No?
Not really, no. No.
I can't believe Roy Keane is doing it for you. Oh. Is this a recent development or did you like him back when he was playing?
Oh, I've always loved Roy Keane. Yeah, yeah. But like when I was younger, he was just a player. I was like, yeah, I didn't. I think as he got older and he's got a bit of the silver fox going on and he's so surly. It's just like, oh, yeah. And my last recommendation is Fleabag. It's on Amazon Prime. Now, Paloma Faith actually said this to, you know Paloma Faith, the singer?
Yeah.
She said it to Andrew Scott and Graham Norton. It's like, yeah, I rubbed one out to this. So there's this, I think I've mentioned this in the podcast before. It's on season 2, episode 4, where Andrew Scott goes to Fleabag in the scene. He's a priest and he goes to her kneel and there's just something so sexy about it. So
oh, you were telling us this is the woman, the priest turns you on.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Okay, it's, so we got the priest, Roy Keane, Clint Eastwood's son, and who?
And Bradley Cooper speaking French.
That's a fair mix, Mara. The lads trying to match you and Bumble have their hands full, I'll tell you. They're trying to live up to that. You've set the bar.
We'd like to recommend the 2010 All-Ireland Hurling Final.
Men are so easily pleased. Men are just like, oh, boobs. Mara's got fucking Bradley Cooper speaking French and shit here.
Oh, yeah. It's just, there's just different things that, I don't know, women need to be stimulated mentally as well as, you know, visually. I mean, like, Bradley Cooper is like such a good
Bradley
looking
Cougar,
man.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper is such a good looking man, but then when you see him, he's got a second language. Oh my God, that's so sexy.
I like him, Mara.
Yeah,
I like it.
So,
would women be turned on by like, oh, I bet he could definitely pay the mortgage, you know, like
it should be a consideration, I'd say. Yeah, I mean, like
there should be a porno where the guy comes in and is like, I did the messages, I'll mind the kids.
Oh.
Why don't you go out with the girls?
You're so tough. Oh,
oh,
with the diddlos out, lad. Oh, he's cutting the lawn now.
Yeah. But like, it must be so hard for, like, imagine like if you're on 2 or 3 dates seeing somebody and now suddenly you're not seeing each other for 2 weeks. It's like, fair. Jesus, like, I'm like...
It's going to be a tough time for a lot of people out there.
Yeah, your relationship.
But I like your guide to isolation dating more.
I think
FaceTime. Yeah. I would just say to anyone out there, don't be one of those guys, especially guys, you know, because like we are susceptible. When lads get the horn, lads will do anything.
Mm.
I swear to God, if you said knock that wall, there's a woman on the other side who wants to have sex with you, he would knock the wall. No problem. One slap, I'd say, knock a cement wall. So lads, beware of the horn is what I'd say. And don't be one of those guys wanking on FaceTime because someone's going to be recorded and you'll regret it forever. Yeah, you don't want a Dirty Den job from EastEnders. You know your man who used to be Dirty Den? So he's fucking sticking his fingers down his throat and stuff on fucking doing some weird shit. Yeah. Honestly, Google that, Dirty Den, EastEnders.
Somebody sent me on WhatsApp this message. You know, during the week, we're supposed to be all clapping for the health services at 8 o'clock in the evening. Then somebody in London, they were in an apartment block and It's just a, it's like a 1 minute WhatsApp video. It's this woman's going like, okay, now 2 minutes till we're all about to clap for the NHS, and there he is, and like scrolls to the video of like a lad in a neighboring apartment, like you know, pulling at himself, and she's like, and there he goes again.
Oh yeah, beware, lads. Block up the windows if you're having a little bit of me time. So Mara, will you give us an update next week and let us know how your isolation dating is coming along?
Yeah, I would like to be honest, I doubt very much it'll be happening. If it's happening, it's going to be a solo effort. So
next week, Mara rubs one out. Okay.
I might just, you know what, I might like just open up next week's podcast. I might just open up a bottle of wine at the beginning of it and the podcast.
I think we should try and finish that.
The bottle of wine by the end of the podcast. So
just more, yeah. if you're going to rub one out, could you just save that for the Patreon? I feel like that's premium content there. That you don't give that away for free, Mara.
Next week, the drunk cast.
Yeah, you're too good for that. Okay, thanks, Mara.
Thanks, Mara. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies Podcast, and use the hashtag #2JohnniesPod. That's the number 2JohnniesPod to spread the good word. You can get in contact, email us, podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie. Follow us on Instagram, The Two Johnnies, and also make sure you sign up to Patreon, where you get an exclusive podcast. And you look, it is good. Trust us, it's actually good. Yeah. So sign up, Patreon, The Two Johnnies. There you go.
So yeah, our Monday morning podcast is going to be free forever, as well. In case you want extra content, go to the Patreon. Now, lads, are we going to do Yurt and Dirt?
And Dirt. Yeah, so it's time to do our Yurt and Dirt. John, what have you got? Highlights and lowlights.
My dirt is, of course, Elvery's still haven't sent the rest of my home gym equipment. And are not answering my emails. So, Elvery's, if it doesn't arrive this week, I am going to break the bounds of my confinement, kick down the door of your fucking warehouse, and stalk from aisle to aisle with a slash hook until I get it. Hit me up. Thanks.
I think you're right. My dirt of the week is, I told you, I think before we came on, when we were just chatting, that, you know, isolation is tough and I'm trying to find new things to do. So yesterday, obviously, like Annie has her horse here at the house, like she's got a stable. So I was like, do you know what I'll do? I'll actually go horse riding now. And I'll do a couple of jumps, and like, you know, we're in a WhatsApp group with a few of the lads, and a couple of them are jockeys.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll send that on to them and they'll be well impressed. First of all, I forgot like, you know, how scary it is to do a jump, because I'd obviously never done one before, so what would I even know about it? And it was this tiny jump, and the horse did, like, honestly, the smallest jump, like a human would like step over it, like a 3-year-old would step over it. And the horse done this little kind of, you know, jump over it, like a pathetic jump. I'd say the horse even felt sorry for me, like, you know. And I fucking nearly fell off the fucking thing. Freaked out. My legs came out of the stirrup. I was just shouting at Annie, like, get me off it! Get me off it! You see, the other problem I had, and here's my dirt, I forgot that I was allergic to horses.
Yeah, man, you're allergic. You know this.
I know, but it's been 2 years since I went near it, because I've been so busy. So I haven't been near the horses in like 2 years, and I forgot all about it. So the last time I'd been on a horse was when we filmed the Summer Tune video, which was like, what, 2 years ago. And I got like, so it's like, hey,
the boom is back.
My eyes start to swell up and water. Yeah, the boom is back. And my eyes start to water and stuff like that. And yesterday then, while I was actually riding the horse, like I was sneezing, and then there was like water running out of my eyes, and my eyes were starting to swell. I could barely see the horse. So all in all, dirt of the week is horse riding. Yeah, and just to the jockeys out there, my God, this horse like was trotting and barely stepped over a jump, and I nearly had a heart attack. So I've gotten a newfound respect for jockeys out there. What's your yurt, John?
My yurt, of course, is YouTube rabbit holes, and in this time of lockdown. So I accidentally learned something this week. You guys have heard of the expression Dutch courage.
Yeah. Yes.
And you know what it means?
Taking a drink to give you some courage.
Oh. Yeah, do you know where it comes from?
Dutch? Holland?
Well, long story short, you know England like to get involved in wars. So one of them was against the Dutch over like trading routes, you know, in the India and all, spices and all that crack, right? Load of lads out in boats shooting at each other. But the Dutch had the advantage of being constantly slightly drunk
because they were drinking something that they drink in Holland called Genever. And what English people call it? Gin.
Okay.
So the Dutch invented gin, and they used to drink that on the ships to give themselves courage and to warm themselves up. And the Brits started drinking it when William of Orange, who was, you know, the reason we have orange men at the north, when he became King of England and popularized gin. And because he was Dutch and the drink was Dutch, they call it Dutch courage.
Very good, Johnny. We're learning something new every week.
And then I went down an even deeper rabbit hole. And, you know, he was the Battle of the Boyne and all that. He defeated King James, and his followers were called the Jacobites. And some people say that's why Dubs are called Jackeens.
Oh.
And then other people say it's because the last time, before the Queen visited, the last time an English monarch came to Dublin was 1908, and that a few people came out in the street and waved their Union Jacks. And people on the country were like, fucking Jackeens. Now, yeah, wow. Wear oven gloves. Listen to this podcast, man.
You need to start watching Pornhub, man. Give yourself something real to do. It's hard to find a yurt this week, to be honest. I got a podcast recommendation.
Go on.
I've got two, actually. So, you know Frank Warren, the boxing promoter? So he's Tyson Fury's boxing promoter. He's got a podcast out called Frank Warren's Heavyweight Podcast. And it's, you know, he's got some interesting guests. You don't have to be into boxing to listen to it. I think that's a good podcast. It'll pass some of the time. Also, Brian Carroll, former Offaly hurler. It's very rare. I will give kudos to anybody from Offaly. But Brian Carroll has a podcast out called The Hurler's Life. And every week he's going to be talking to different hurlers who are retired from the game. So that's worth listening as well. So that'll pass the time. And also, podcast recommendation, Two Johnny's Extra.
Yeah.
You know, can't go wrong. So look, that's it for this week. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll chat to you on Thursday on Patreon with the Two Johnnies Extra. Other than that, we'll see you next Monday. Take care. Mind yourself.
Stay indoors, you fuckers.
Fucking stay indoors, lads. Do what they're telling you.
I went for a quick walk up the block yesterday and I saw 6 children in someone's garden. I was like, you better all have come out with the same pair of balls. Like, fucking... And one of them came out on her bicycle. She came out as far as the road where I was walking. And I was like, get back. I was going to fucking kick her. I swear to God.
Roundhouse kicker.
I was going to roundhouse that bitch. So just fucking stay home. Stay away from each other. You know what I mean? Stay away from yourselves.
The one thing I would just say is, like, if we suffer now in the short term, it'll all be better in the long term, lads.
Yeah.
There you go. Leave you on that one. See you soon.
Good luck.
Mind yourselves.
It's
lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast, the Two Johnnies Podcast,
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.